Good afternoon, everybody in Hoosier Land. It's Wednesday at 4:30. You're in Central Indiana, and you're tuned to 91.9 WITT, the home of unpredictable music and the Indy's trusted servant show. Since it's Wednesday at 4:30, you're tuned to the Indy's trusted servant show on 91.9 WITT, with yours truly, Danny O'Malley, Indy's trusted servant. What is Indy's trusted servant? Well, I do customer service training and keynote speaking about customer service and the culture it takes to do good customer service, something I learned at the hand of the master, my late father, Joe O'Malley, well, starting in about 1957 at the age of 9 or 10, from there on. If you're interested in learning more about that, give me a call at 317-413-9062. What's the Indy's Trusted Servant Show? I like to call it lively, local, small biz, and community talk where you can feel the pulse of Indy. And today I'm pleased that my guest is a new friend with an old charity, Mr. Duke Haddad with the Salvation Army, one of my favorite charities, by the way. And Duke, welcome to the Indy's Trusted Servant Show.
Well, thank you, Danny. Pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. Before we talk about the Army, tell us about Duke Haddad and how you got to the Army.
Well, I got to the Army through a career in resource development. I've worked at 4 universities, 2 healthcare systems, 1 social service agency, several consulting firms. I just want to make a career out of helping others.
Well, there you go. I'm going to back up a little bit. You're not a native Hoosier. You're a West Virginia boy.
I'm a West Virginia boy from Charleston, West Virginia.
Charleston, West Virginia. And some of those universities, one of them included Butler, correct?
Well, I worked at Butler University, University of Louisville, University of Charleston, Florida International University.
Okay. And Butler was one of the more recent ones, right?
Yes. In fact, Butler was the last university I worked for.
Before you came to the Army, right?
Well, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, how did you go from that? Obviously, you were in fundraising, right?
Fundraising.
How'd you go from there to the Salvation Army? And when?
Well, I've been with the Salvation Army in my 8th year, and it was a calling. I was doing consulting at the time. Met a gentleman named Major, who's now Colonel, John Turner. He was a lifelong officer with the Salvation Army. Loved him, loved what it meant. In fact, when we started talking, we were just chatting. A 5-minute conversation turned into a 3-hour conversation just about all what the Army does, what it stands for.
And we're going to get into a lot of that today. We probably can't get into all of it, but I will tell my listeners, if you're not that familiar with the Army, you're vaguely familiar. You see the bell ringers at the holidays. I'm one of the bell ringers at the holidays. I've rung bells at Circle Center Mall through the Indianapolis Rotary for the past several years. We used to have the bell ringers at O'Malley's stores back in the day during the holidays. And, you know, everybody understands the bell ringers, but that's just a small portion of the fundraising you do. And, of course, it's really important that people really know what the fundraising is for. So let's talk about a little bit about the mission of the Army that enticed you to join and to begin with.
Well, I'm sorry. The mission is part of the evangelical movement of the Universal Christian Church. It's based on the Bible. It's based on the ministry of love of God. It's based on the mission of the preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and to meet human needs without discrimination.
Okay.
So the bottom line is we want to help anyone in need at any time.
Anyone in need at any time. And that's not just financial help necessarily, right?
No, it could be spiritual help. It could be mental, physical. I mean, we're involved in so many areas.
And hunger as well?
Oh, sure. Yep. Hunger, disaster relief, youth. Senior programs.
Floods, tornadoes, everything, right?
Yes, alcohol and drug rehab, spiritual healing. We have summer camps. We do things with police, fire, veterans, help during the holidays. Everyone has a different need at different times, and we are just blessed with a multi-talented staff and volunteers.
Lots of volunteers.
Oh, hundreds of volunteers.
Well, since you mentioned the volunteers, when we talked, you talked about how important the volunteers are to this effort. If somebody is so moved from our interview today and they want to volunteer for the Salvation Army, how might they go about doing that?
Well, we're blessed with a volunteer coordinator named Stevie Cochran. Her number is 317-224-1010. Or it's Stevie, and it's with an I, S-T-E-V-I,
okay.
Cochran@USCSalvationArmy.org.
Can you spell Cochran?
Yes, C-O-C-H-R-A-N-E.
Oh, with an E on the end.
With an E.
Okay.
So she works with volunteers. She orientates volunteers. She trains them. She gets them engaged.
Okay, so next topic is, how has the virus impacted the work of the Salvation Army? My guess is, it has increased the need, and how has it impacted your ability to fill the need?
It's increased the need tremendously in a variety of ways. For example, just in the Indiana Division alone, I have some recent statistics: served 40,539 meals, 36,893 drinks, snacks over 23,000, over 21,000 client interviews, financial assistance in the thousands. And when I say financial assistance, it could be for energy, it could be for
rent.
Rent, emergency assistance, you name it.
Now, this is in Indianapolis?
Well, division means Indiana Division, which means we're in 85 counties.
Most of Indiana.
In Indiana.
Yeah.
Except for the
Indiana.
Top six. Top seven.
North. Okay. So, other than the region, basically, right?
Yes.
Up in there, you're the rest of the state.
Yes.
What kind of an increase in need or requests for assistance has COVID brought on, could you say?
Oh, I don't have exact statistics as far as numbers, but it's in the hundreds as far as needs and variety of needs, a time of needs. No one predicted this COVID scenario because many people that were employed are now unemployed.
Right.
Many people that were healthy, now ill, and it transcends to their families. Many people need daycare. Just because
the kids are in school.
Yes, we don't even know when they're going back to school.
Yeah, yeah, we're hoping they'll go back. Right?
Yes, yes.
All of that, right? And then another issue, and you already touched on a little bit, is the increased need for mental health help.
Oh, yes.
From being shut in, from being unemployed, from having the kids home when they're not usually home, all of the above, right?
Yes. In fact, we've worked with domestic abuse, for example. We work with mental health. We have a Harbor Light Center for drug and alcohol and tobacco and gambling addiction. So we have an array of services. So when you ask someone off the street, they say, when you say what the Salvation Army does, they say, oh, we ring a bell Christmas.
And you feed the poor.
Yes. and by the way, we've been ringing bells since 1891 in San Francisco.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yes. But you can just see in our discussion how we do so many things. I mean, I've never worked for a more caring organization in my life. When I talk to a donor, and this just gives me chills when the donor says, to my last breath, I will give to the Salvation Army.
That's great. And I have to tell you, I have a brother, Dave, who is an attorney, who kind of is a watchdog on charities, okay? And of course, back in the Amalia days, we were hit up by a wide variety of charities asking for requests. And he helped us a lot with figuring out the ones that the smallest percentage went to the staff, okay, or lobbying or whatever it was, and the biggest percentage went to the people in need. And he said the Salvation Army's right at the top of the list, on the good guy list on that area. And that's high praise coming from my brother Dave, believe me.
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, we've always strived for that. That's why we need so many volunteers.
And we'll come back to that after our first underwriter. Well, I shouldn't call it an underwriter break right now. We're working on that. But we want to talk about the host for our studio and next week's show. The host for our studio here at 91.9 FM is My Pet Carnivore, a pet food distribution warehouse on Shelby Street in Fountain Square, where Paul and Suzanne and their extremely busy staffs distribute healthy frozen dog and cat food to dog and cat food owners only in 48 states, which to me means this stuff must really work. And as busy as these people are around here, that kind of solves that. So we want to thank Paul and Suzanne and My Pet Carnivore for hosting the studios of 91.9 FM. So you can get all that unpredictable music and the Indy's Trusted Servant Show on Wednesdays. Next week's guest will be a young guy named Sean Kirker, who has an organization called Voices Live On. And it has to do with families doing interviews with him and their gifting to maybe grandma while she's still alive and she can hear the family history. It's a really cool sounding organization, and we're really looking forward to having them on the show. So back to Duke Haddad with the Salvation Army. If somebody really wanted to find out, we'll never get to everything you guys do. So what's the Army's website? What's the best website to get to find out about the Army? If somebody just wants to mess around and find out.
SalvationArmyIndiana.org.
Okay, good. And if somebody's interested in volunteer, they could start there too, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah. And what is that lady's name again, if you want to call in and talk about volunteering?
Yeah, Stevie Cochran.
Yep. Phone number?
317-224-1010.
Okay, that's super. How in the world, aside from bell ringing, do you guys raise money? I know you've got a whole lot of events that you do, and I suspect your ability to raise money has been negatively impacted by the virus.
Well, yes, we raise money in a lot of different ways. We have what's called annual giving programs.
Sure.
Where people go through direct mail or online or special events when we have those. We have major gifts when we ask people for larger gifts over multi-year time frames for what's called restricted needs. We have a robust planned giving program. Many, many people give through their wills, through trust.
Sure. But a lot of that gets impacted when everything shuts down, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. But yes. Yes. However, we shift gears. What I'm saying is we shift from regular operations for food, shelter, youth, et cetera, to COVID-19. In fact, we're doing a silent phase capital campaign. Silent phase means this, on the surface, the public doesn't know it yet. And so we have been kind of doing parallel things fairly recently, meaning we're kind of holding a little bit back on the capital to focus on COVID-19.
Right, right.
We received a $250,000 anonymous gift about 2 months ago, and we've been working hard to try to match that through COVID-19 donations.
Okay.
One thing that we do, when we have an array of priorities, but we talk to five basic sources of funds. In other words, individuals, companies, foundations,
right,
associations, and organizations.
Right.
Those five entities are the ones that give us funds. So, yes, are the funds less? In yes and no. It just shifts.
The $250,000 donation you mentioned, would it have had anything to do with COVID?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes,
you
it
think
was
it was
for COVID.
To help, yeah, it was to help you guys
yes,
do the services that are the extra services needed and so
exactly.
forth.
Exactly. A challenge gift hopefully boosts double your dollar, so to speak.
Right.
So we hope we'll end up with $500,000 to meet all these COVID needs from all these people.
Which probably wouldn't meet all the needs, but it would be a good chunk, right?
Oh, yeah, no, it would meet all the needs.
So how many Salvation Army employees are there in your district?
Well, we have 60 at the divisional level in Indianapolis.
In the Indianapolis office.
Yes, and we have 23 what's called corps, which are facilities with officers manning those facilities statewide.
Okay.
And many have employees of their own.
So there's over 100 in Indiana employees of Salvation Army, sounds like.
Yes, and you know, well over that number with officers, and triple or quadruple that number with volunteers.
Volunteers, yeah. And those obviously are very, very, very important too. Bell ringers are just a small example of the numbers of volunteers that you guys have. You want to talk about some of the fundraising things you do besides the big, you know, fundraising that you were talking about before and besides the bell ringers?
Oh, sure. Well, one is just what just happened. We have Donut Day in 1938. There's a national day, and it's going back to World War I when we had volunteers, primarily women, fry donuts in their helmets. Over 250 volunteers went over to France and served World War I soldiers, and they never forgot it.
Salvation Army volunteers went to France during
yes.
World War I to serve donuts.
Yes.
Wow.
So donuts and coffee, and think about and give spiritual advice and guidance. because a lot of these were women.
So how's Donut Day work today?
Well, Donut Day this year was kind of strange. Typically, we have a WIBC scenario on the circle, and we have what's called a canteen. We give out several thousand donuts there. But we also, so let's stop there. So this year we switched, and instead of doing something on the circle, we just decided we're going to go to the police, we're going to go to fire, we're going to multiple hospitals and healthcare. First line people, we're going to give donuts to them. And we went to a number of companies and friends and gave donuts out just to say
thanks. So that's not really a fundraiser, that's a thank you.
Oh, that's a thank you.
That's a thank you.
That's a cultivation and stewardship.
That's great. That's great. What about, okay, so with, well, obviously, food and money for the poor in the community is probably the keynote to most of this stuff. Anything more specific than that?
Oh, yeah, if you can think of just special events that are coming up. In August, we have what's called Stuff the Bus, Back to School. We're doing all kinds of things for needy children, backpacks, books, crayons, pencils, you name it. In fact, I'm calling out retired teachers to come out because retired teachers love to do this.
Yeah, they would.
With us.
They would.
For example, Coats for Kids. We've worked for years with Channel 13.
Right.
THR.
Right.
Bob Gregory, for example. It's been over 30 years.
I can see Bob Gregory talking about Coats for Kids.
In fact, he just turned 83 last week.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, I think, have you bring Coach to either a Colts game or a Pacer game? Or
you do that.
You can do
and
that.
Classic cleaners, you do that.
Okay.
Or you bring it to us. But anyway, it's several thousand kids. It's usually in October this year, October 17th for that.
Well, while we're on that topic, and it is, you know, might be hard for people to remember to bring Coats on October 17th, but hopefully not. Where are these Salvation Army places in the metro area?
Well, let's go back 1 second. September around Labor Day to October 17th
is when
we have
the whole time.
The drive to get
coats
new or gently used. And then October 17th, if you come to the fairgrounds, you're going to see several thousand people line up, parents, friends, and kids, waiting for their coats.
Waiting for their coats.
Yes.
Okay. That's fantastic.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
And so, I'm sorry.
Where are the Salvation Army places you could drop a coat off?
Well, typically you drop a coat off at Classic Cleaners or at divisional headquarters.
And which is where?
It's 6060 Castleway West Drive. Those are the primary places.
Okay.
Now, we do have Fountain Square Core in Fountain Square.
So you could drop coats off here at Fountain Square.
Or Eagle Creek.
And where's Eagle Creek?
Eagle Creek's on High School Road.
Okay.
Well, we encourage DHQ, division headquarter drop-offs, or the classic cleaner drop-offs.
Now, give us that address once again.
6060 Castleway West Drive.
Okay. How easy is that to find?
Very easy. It's just Castleton Mall, just south of it.
Okay.
You can see it from Castleton Mall.
Great.
We also have several other major programs. Radiothon we do every year for children, and that's in December with WIBC. Last year was our 25th year. Goal was $250,000. We were about $320,000.
So how does that work? It's WIBC. How does that work?
Yes. Well, they do on-air stories. It's 36 hours. It's Friday, Saturday, typically. We have on-air talent telling the stories. But hats off to Pat Sullivan and Denny Smith. For years, Sullivan's Hardware has been our major place, along with Emma's.
All of those are great community assets.
Oh, yeah.
All those companies.
So we're just telling the story over and over again, and we're getting a lot of corporate support for 36 hours.
That is a big deal. And I can remember hearing that on WIBC as well. Tell me about, before we take our next break, the Angel Tree program.
Oh, Angel Tree program's huge. Last year, over 7,000 children received a Christmas on Christmas morning. Either individuals go to malls and buy things for kids, or corporations or churches, for example, say, I'll underwrite 10, 15. One church would underwrite 500 children. These are children, again, in need. It's a beautiful program because the children never know anybody donated the gifts.
Oh, they think it's coming from mom and dad or Santa Claus, right?
Yeah, because we have a certain day, it's called Distribution Day, or days in December, where we get all the gifts. We put them in clear bags. Parents come.
And then they take them home and wrap them.
Yes. And they have to meet certain requirements. salary-wise, et cetera, to qualify for the program.
That's a beautiful thing. So if I wanted to help with that, and again, this is a ways off. No way you guys have so many fundraisers over the year that you can't pick a date that's good for anyone to do a radio interview. But if I wanted to help with the Angel Tree program, how would you say that you'd go about doing that?
Again, contacting Stevie, the volunteer coordinator.
Okay.
They can even contact me at 317-224-1029.
Okay.
Because we need people leading up in November and December and even October to that what's called distribution day.
So business could get involved and have their employees involved and that kind of stuff too.
Oh, we encourage businesses to get involved with us.
Yeah, a church, anything.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, we got one more segment with my friend Duke Haddad of the Salvation Army, doing great work in the community worldwide. And I want to talk about the worldwide aspect of the Salvation Army. Before we get out of here, we want to talk about the host for our studios here and next week's show one more time. I want to thank Paul and Suzanne and their staff here at My Pet Carnivore. That is a pet food distribution warehouse on South Shelby Street that distributes healthy frozen dog and cat food to dog and cat food owners only. No stores in 48 states. And they host a studio for 91.9 FM. And all that unpredictable music and the Indies Trusted Servant Show, and thanks to them. Next week's show, Sean Kirker of Voices Live On. Sean helps families put the family history on audio for family members. So that's going to be a real, real interesting show, and it's a fairly new organization, just a couple of years old. We talked about the Angel Tree program a little bit. Do you have any donor stories to share or any great big wins or any small wins that just knock people out that you want to talk about?
Oh, well, a small win is we receive planned gifts constantly. And when you receive gifts of several hundred thousand dollars, you deeply appreciate it. And we have.
You got to have them. You got to have them. You got to have them.
But I even appreciate more the $1.45 gift we received. We received $5 gifts. These are all through wills. A $2 gift.
$1.45 in a will?
Yes. Yes.
Holy moly.
We receive a number of gifts of that level. And so that are obviously our small, but just widow's mite wins.
That's incredible. What about the worldwide reach of Salvation Army, and is each region, like the Indiana region, are they independent of the other regions, or does anything that somebody might give here in Indianapolis go to a mission somewhere, or how does that work?
Well, it's complicated, but we have 133 countries that we represent. Our international offices in London, England.
Okay.
Our national offices in Alexandria, Virginia. We have four territories in the United States. A number of divisions like Indiana's report to these territories.
Where's our territory headquartered?
It's Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
And we have 10 divisions in the Central Territory. So we have an Eastern Territory, Western Territory, Southern Territory, and Central Territory. And so in every county of the United States and 133 countries, you have a presence of the Salvation Army. So when they say that there's a disaster in Puerto Rico, they say the Army is going there. No, the Army is already stationed there.
Right.
And there's a procedure where the Army calls out other Army units to help them with tornadoes and floods.
Whatever
and
it is.
And disasters.
Okay.
And so there is an international reach. But the uniqueness is it's a huge Army, but many operate together, but yet they have a degree of independence.
So they're independent operators, but when there's a need somewhere, one part of the Salvation Army might reach out and join that need.
Yes.
Right?
When I say independent, what I mean is we're all one big umbrella of the Salvation Army. But because we're all regional and local, we have nuances. And we help people with their own nuances.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to explain.
Okay. What about the spiritual aspect of the Salvation Army? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, the Salvation Army is a church.
Right.
And what's called, when I say officers, these are ministers. These are ordained ministers. So they have to go through training. I've been blessed to be a professor of what's called SACEP. with Avalet Nazarene University. I have a doctorate. And so I teach officers fundraising, public relations, government relations. And so in the spiritual side, the officers know. When William and Catherine Booth started this enterprise in 1865 in London, England, they know how to sit down with people. They try to find out their needs and how we can address those needs spiritually.
Okay. So if people are in need, but they're, let's say, hesitant because they know there's a spiritual aspect of it, they should still be encouraged to reach out to you folks.
Of course, because right? It's body, mind, and spirit, and it's up to them to come forth, the individuals in need to come forth and say they need spiritual.
They're not going to get hit over the head with a particular orthodoxy or anything like that.
No, but I will mention one thing about Pathway of Hope. It's a major program we've had for the last several years.
Talk about that.
These are individual families that come to us. Each family has their own story of need. I need education. I need health care. I need job training. I need. And so we sit down and talk to them. Some families may take a month, and then we've met their need. Some may take 6 months, we've met their need. Some may take several years, and we work with them. In fact, we created last year, about 2 years ago, I should say, a Pathway of Hope Scholars Program. First generation.
Okay.
Which means we're giving funds to individuals who they've never been to college. College is a dream. We're trying to get people off the railroad track of intergenerational poverty just continues.
Oh, darn. I just had a great thought, and it just left my mind another senior moment along those lines. Oh, I know what it was. Supposing somebody reaches out to you, and it becomes apparent to you that there's domestic abuse in the household or something like that.
Yes.
Do you guys try to handle that with the spirituality, or do you reach out to a counselor of some sort that's maybe a volunteer? How's that work?
Well, we have a trained staff.
You do every possible...
Of course. We have a women's and children's center, so to speak.
Tell us about that real quick.
Well, yes. It's a program where we have 111 beds. Sadly, they're full every night.
No kidding.
With women and children.
Of abuse. Here in Indianapolis?
Yes. Oh, and some men, but there are people that... We had one time somebody from Chicago that came with 8 children. So they're not necessarily from Indianapolis.
But most.
Many are from central Indiana, certainly.
Right.
But and we have a board that works. Staff that works. And we have police that's involved.
Same thing with drug addiction.
We have a Harbor Light, yes, center. And we have specialists. We just find out what these individuals need. And then we decide what individuals should work with them.
I guess it scares me to death to think that you guys have a center with 111 beds that's full all the time, and it's not the only center around for domestic abuse, I'm sure.
No, but we work with partners. We have a number of agencies. And if we have an overflow situation, then we take care of it with other partners.
Sure.
We talk to each other. We're one community of caring. And that's what we're trying to do with all of our partners. It's just not one entity, one charity cannot do that.
No, absolutely not. Well, Duke Haddad with the Salvation Army. Any closing thoughts in about 20 seconds?
Well, I write for Nonprofit Pro magazine. I've been a writer for many, many years on topics of nonprofit, whatever it is, whatever comes to my mind. And so recently I wrote on Donut Day. In fact, during COVID, we actually went to what I call lawn cultivation. We drove a truck or canteen to lawns where we had donors and friends and safe social distancing. We gave them gifts. We just talked to them. Many had not been out in weeks.
I know.
And they deeply appreciate the fact we were with them. So we're there for them, and I'm just proud to be a member of the Salvation Army.
Army is there. Duke Haddad, thank you very, very much.
Oh, you're welcome, Danny.
God bless.